Open in prayer as we come around the Word of God this morning, the bread of life, bread to our inner man, our spirit. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the Word of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have given that to us and that you show us the way ahead. And even though there is tribulation and troubles all around us and in the world, that we can stand in faith, we can have victory. And that you are our fortress. Show us, Lord, today more about your way in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We've been looking at the trial of our faith, and we've been looking at the whole area of faith quite a lot over the last year. The trial of our faith. We know that there are trials. We know that because we're in the world and not of the world, that the trials will come. But they're not trials that have come from the Lord, and there are things that we are not to be suffering for at all. Now, the trial of our faith has nothing to do with suffering for wrongdoing, or because of inaction, or unbelief, or doubt, but it has everything to do with standing steadfast for the Lord, based on His Word, even through tribulations, storms, and troubles. And the Bible's very clear that we should be able to stand by faith. So let's have a look, first of all, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 9. And we've been looking at this area of the trial of our faith. Starting from verse 3 of 1 Peter 1, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now we know that the resurrection of Jesus Christ means that Jesus now lives. The Bible said he was dead and buried, he went to hell, and now he's been raised from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That means that the life you have is the life of the vine. We are branches in the vine. That means that it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Christ is alive in us, and is no longer we're living for ourselves, no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in us. And this is important. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is so very crucial. We learnt before that Romans 10:9 tells us that if you don't believe in your heart that God hath raised Jesus from the dead, you can't be saved. And yet there are people that don't believe in the resurrection, the literal resurrection of Christ. How can there be life without Christ being raised from the dead? Verse 4 says, "To an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." So we have an inheritance. Praise the Lord. Verse 5 says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." So the Bible talks about the trial of your faith. It talks about the trial of your faith, but it says that it's more precious than of gold that perisheth. So what is the trial of your faith doing? Well, it's building within you a greater determination and strength and discipline. If you can stand, the Bible talks about enduring temptation. The Bible talks about the trials that are to do with temptations. Temptation to get off onto unbelief, temptation to go the way of the world, all that type of thing. If you can stand in faith, because it's your faith in action, if you can stand in faith, even though there's that trial, that means that faith is being built and you can stand in a greater way in the next trial or trouble or tribulation that comes. So it's a good thing that we can stand. It's not a good thing if you go down or you fall because of a trial. It's a good thing if you stand by faith. Just keep your finger in 1 Peter 1 there and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 24. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 24. Just a little bit back. Now, when we were born again, we were born again by faith in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, "By faith are you saved; by grace are you saved through faith, through faith." So, we were people that have come into Christ through faith, and that means we walk by faith and we stand by faith. And you see here in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 24. It says, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand. You see, as I've said before, I can't live your faith life. You've got to walk by faith. I can't walk by faith for you. I can't speak by faith for you. I can't stand by faith for you. And I don't want to, and neither should I, have dominion over your faith. You have dominion over your own faith. In other words, you have the responsibility of how you react when a trial comes along, when a situation comes along. How do you react? How do you act in that time? Do you act in unbelief? Oh, woe is me, everything's going down. Or do you say, no, I have the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my strength. He is my rock. Is that coming out of your mouth? Or is all types of fear, worry, unbelief, worldliness coming out? Remember, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What is that saying? It means what you put in your heart, the word of faith, if you put that in your heart, that's what's going to come out. That's what's going to come out. Have a look at Romans 10. And we've looked at this many times before, but it's important in this context to look at it. Romans 10, verse 8. Romans 10, verse 8. Romans 10, 8 says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. It's important to expose yourself to preaching, isn't it? That's where the word of faith can come into your heart. It's one way it can come into your heart. You can also listen to CDs. You can read the Bible. You can listen to others. You can have studies and so on. But notice that the word must be in two places. It's got to be in your heart and in your mouth. And so when a trial comes, whether it be a trial of temptation or a trial of persecution, when a trial comes, what do you do? How do you react? Do you act in faith or in unbelief? What comes out of your mouth? And this is important to grab hold of, because God puts responsibility on us. What comes out of our mouth? What are our actions? Are we standing by faith? That's why I don't have dominion over your faith. You have dominion over your own faith. You must make sure that you walk by faith when a trial comes. See, one of the reasons for coming to church is to build yourself up in faith, so that when you go out into the world, the church is known as the sanctuary. Why is it called a sanctuary? It's a place of blessing. It's a place of refuge. It's a place where you can come in and be strengthened and to receive from God. It's a wonderful place. Think of the word sanctuary. That speaks of peace, doesn't it? It speaks of strength. Not a place where you come to be, there's some place you can come and you're browbeaten and you're wrong and you're not doing that right. And I believe it's a place we should be built up. You're through the word of God. And then when you notice or you see, well, this is not right in my life, you get it right. You say, I repent to the Lord. and you get it right so that you can do the right thing in the Lord. So go back to 1 Peter chapter 1 again. We'll read verse 7 again. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. What's being tried with fire? Your faith. Your faith. Where does that fire come from? Is it coming from the Lord? No. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So you haven't seen Christ, but you love him. You don't see him at the moment, yet you believe him. You don't see him with your eyes, but you can see or know who Christ is through the Word and through the Spirit of God confirming the Word to your heart. This is so very important for us to get hold of. Walking by faith is not, oh, I see the storm and then woe is me, therefore everything's going downhill. Walking by faith is, I see in the Word what God has done for me. He's not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of sound mind. We come into a wonderful rest in God. We rest in what he's done. We're not struggling, trying to do it our own way, in our own strength. We're not all churned up on the inside. Because if that's the case, then that means that the storm has got into you. That means that the trial and the trouble has got into you. What you want is God as your fortress. Think of a fortress. Does the fortress keep out the war? Keep out the trouble? Yes. That's what the fortress is there for. And God is our fortress. He's the strongest fortress you can have. But you've got to trust him. Not lean to your own understanding. Not walk by sight, but have the word of faith in your heart and in your mouth, so that when a trial does come, that's what you speak. And what do? You walk by faith. Praise the Lord. If you go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 5, let's have a look at that. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 to 5. We want to learn about a little bit about where the fire is coming from. It's enemy fire. It's enemy fire. Who is the one that destroys? Who's the one that stirs up persecution against the church and against you as a Christian? Who's the one that tries to put doubts into your mind? Well, the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty, the pulling down of strongholds, and talks about casting down thoughts to the obedience of Christ. It talks about every thought has to be cast down that's not in line with Christ. Well, those thoughts haven't come from God, have they? That comes from the enemy. Now notice that how these people acted in a time of trial, in a time of trial in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, means to take notice of, to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Grace of God, it's God's blessing and enabling, was bestowed, it means given, put upon, on the churches of Macedonia. Verse 2 tells us they had this grace, this enabling, this blessing. And verse 2 tells us what was coming against them. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Okay, they had joy, but they also had deep poverty. Now that may be the enemy has taken away things from them. Maybe that they started out poor, but God doesn't want you to stay poor, because the Bible says the destruction of the poor is their poverty. And we've been redeemed from destruction. That's what Psalm 103 tells us. But God doesn't want you to stay in that. He wants you to be blessed and prosper and go on forward. But notice the way they acted in the trial. They had an abundance of joy, abounded under the riches of their liberality. So they were liberal. They used what little they had to sow, to do what they could. Verse 3, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." So something in their heart, they were willing. They weren't willing to explain away things or to say, well, I can't make myself available for that. They were willing, even beyond their power. In other words, it seemed as though they couldn't go any further, yet they did. The Bible talks about going the extra mile. The Bible talks about enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Notice what it says in verse 4. "Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." They gave their own selves to the Lord. Yet they were in a trial of affliction. They didn't give up, did they? They stood by faith, and they even went further. They did more than what was expected of them. Now, do you think these people are going to reap? You know, they're sowing out of their liberality. Do you think these people are going to reap? For sure. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians 9. And look at verse 6 and 7. Or 6 to 8 we'll look at. "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, but he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give." Well, we just read that they gave themselves to the Lord and they gave themselves to Paul's ministry. So let him give. And that's not just finance they were giving. That was of their time, of their resources, of their effort. So think of it. Notice what it says here. "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you." Remember we read about the churches of Macedonia? Grace was upon those churches. Grace, God's enabling and blessing. "Make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." This is the reaping. This is what can come. So a trial can come, but with God's grace in your life, his enabling, his power, his blessing, you can not only stand, but you can go forward. You can go forward because you're not looking at the trial as defeating you. You're saying, I can stand and I can go forward in Christ. And I see that there is a blessing, there is a reaping. And I've been sowing, there is a reaping beyond this present trouble, beyond this present time. And we talked a bit about don't suffer as an evildoer, or don't suffer as someone who's doing the wrong thing. We talked a bit about that in part 2. So we'll move forward from that and have a look. Where is that fire coming from? Where is that fire of affliction coming from. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6. We'll look at verses 10 and 11, first of all. Verses 10 and 11 of Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not trusting in yourself, not trusting in your own might, but in him. Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay, you have an enemy. You have an enemy. Look at verse 16. We see where the fire is coming from. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. All the fiery darts of the wicked. There's where the fire's coming from. We read in 1 Peter chapter 1, great fire. Now, it's important for us to see that if we have the shield of faith, think of the word shield. Shield stops the fiery darts from coming in and destroying you and destroying your loved ones and destroying your life, and enables you to stand. You hold up that shield of faith. You've got to take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all, not just some, but all the fiery darts of the wicked. It's important for us to see this because the fiery darts are coming. He's not going to stop shooting the fiery darts at you. And every Christian has fiery darts shot at them. But you've got to have the shield of faith held up. You've got to actually take, as it says there, taking the shield of faith. Is that an action on your part? It is. An action on your part because it's your faith. It's a trial of your faith. And in the trial of your faith, you see this as a trial, but I take up, or I take the shield of faith. The fiery dart is coming. I take up the shield of faith. It's quenched. The fiery dart is quenched. So that trial is going to work in you. See, it's exercising you in faith. But if you never do it, if you just give up, if you just allow the thoughts of defeat to come in and to stay there and meditate on that. See, how are you going to get success? It's not through meditating on all the wrong things. How do we get success? Have a look at Joshua 1. Joshua 1 will tell us how we get success. How do you get success even in a trial? Even in a trial. Well, God is the one that reveals these things to us. He shows you how to get good success. He revealed it to Joshua. Verse 8, Joshua 1 verse 8. Well, let's look at verse 6 first of all, and then we'll look at verse 8. Joshua 1 verse 6. This is the Lord instructing Joshua, how he can lead the people into the promised land, even though there were giants there. Even though there were great obstacles, it seemed as though the giants had taken over the land. And you know, you can have giants in your life or trying to stop you from having the victory manifested. Joshua 1 verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Didn't we read that in Ephesians 6 before? Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. See, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Have we got an inheritance? Well, we read that in 1 Peter 1, didn't we? We have an inheritance. That inheritance is given to us. We have to stand and claim that inheritance. You know, we now, because we're righteous, we now have in God the right to call him Father, healing and deliverance and strength and power. Not through our own self, but through what God has provided. And then verse 8, this is the key. This is the key, how even in the midst of a trial or tribulation or trouble, even in the midst of a trial, you can have good success and prosper. It tells you here how to do it. Verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of, where? Thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Where's the meditation happening? In your heart, that thou mayest observe to do, it's walking by faith, according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. According to this verse, it's not a coincidence for people to have prosperity and good success in their life. For Christians, for believers, it's dependent on not having the Word of God departing out of your mouth and meditating on the Word of God and observing to do it. Can you see the link? Can you see the link? If you can see the link, then the promise is sure for you. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Why? Because you're taking what has been provided by the Lord. Has the Word of God been provided by the Lord? Yes. We heard it's been on Tuesday night. We heard wonderfully how it's been provided exactly for you. You can trust it all. You can take hold of the Bible and say, well, this is truth. Not a book of error. It's a book of truth. And you can then meditate therein day and night. There's too many people that, you know, I've come to church and that's enough. But God wants you to do it day and night. He wants you to do it regularly. Put the word into your heart regularly. And then out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, because it shall not depart out of your mouth. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The Bible talks about success, but in the right way. Good success. Bad success is the world's success. I'm successful in the world. You know, the rock stars are successful. That's bad success. It's adulation and worship of the world, of man. But good success is coming into all that God has provided for you through, as we read before, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is alive. He is the mediator. He is the one that is alive in our hearts. He is our strength, our power. We've read before, our wisdom, our righteousness. He is our life. He is everything to us. As we trust him and stand in him, the trials will come. The fiery darts will come. But you hold up the shield of faith and it's quenched. How do you hold up the shield of faith? We just read it there. This book of the Lord shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. This is not just for the Old Testament. We read in Romans 10. It's also for the New Testament. The word in your heart, in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That's the word of faith, not the word of doubt. The word of faith which we preach. So where does it have to be? In your heart and in your mouth. The trial will come. Fiery dart will be fired. None of us escapes having fiery darts from the enemy coming towards us. We're in the world. It's a dangerous place spiritually. many people in snares and traps and on fire because of the fiery darts and destroyed. But we can stand in victory because the Bible says we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have joy in our hearts through what Jesus has done and given. We'll just go through a couple more things. And we have to see that it's the Lord Jesus Christ who is our victory through what he has done on the cross. We are redeemed from the curse of the law. We have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Have a look at John 14, verse 1. We touched on this last time, but it's important for us to see it again. Remember what I said just before? What is the enemy trying to do? What's he aiming for? When he's shooting that fiery dart, think of an archer. What's he aiming for? He's aiming for your heart. He's aiming for your thoughts. He's trying to destroy your soul and your spirit. He's trying to get you destroyed. The Bible calls him the destroyer. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. God's not the thief. God's not a thief. It must be the enemy. And so we're looking now at John 14. John 14, verse 1. That's what it says here. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. This is Jesus speaking. Let not your heart be troubled. Who's not to let their heart be troubled? You. It's your responsibility. As a faith-walking believer in Christ, it's your responsibility to let not your heart be troubled. God has given you all the equipment. He's given you all the weaponry. He's given you the shield of faith. He's given you the armor. He's given you the victory. He said, I am your fortress. I am your shepherd. I am your rock. Now, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. What's he saying there? Hey, look, I can care for you. Trust in me. Now, there's going to be trials that will try to bring trouble to you, but don't let it get in your heart. Don't let it get into your inner man. I am your fortress. The fiery darts will come. Hold up the shield of faith, they're quenched. You could have all fire all around you. You see, this is what I think the devils see in the spirit when they look at faith-filled victory Christians. They see a fortress and they see that they can't get through. They try to bring the trials and they'll never give up. They'll try to bring the temptations. They'll try to get to you. But as you stand in faith, you can have, as the Bible says, days of heaven upon the earth. Days of heaven upon the earth. That's in the Word. So we see here, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Also go to a bit further in that chapter to verse 27. What has Jesus provided? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So how can your heart be troubled? If fear gets in there. If things of unbelief get in there. Things against the word get in there. Things that are against the peace of God. But what has Jesus given you? The peace of God. Peace I leave with you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. When Christ was on earth, was he filled with worry and fear? No. He trusted in God the Father. He wants us to be exactly like that, Christ-like. He's our example. And the Bible says we should walk even as he walked. So we look to him. He's the author and finisher of our faith. That's what the Bible says. The author and finisher of our faith. Our faith is rooted and grounded in Christ. Praise the Lord. And that's the one we should be looking to. So, well, let's read verse 27 again. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What type of peace does the world give? It's a false security. It's a false security. It's a false security to think that you can live your life without Christ. And that's the type of peace that people have out there. I'm living a moral life. I'm all right. I don't, you know. Religion's okay for you. It's not for me, though. Well, the Bible talks about pure religion and undefiled. So there is a true religion. There is a pure religion. And that's the religion of Christ. And everyone must be saved. Everyone needs Christ. Not everyone will be saved because not everyone will believe on Christ. Not everyone will trust in him. But we see here that Christ gives a peace that is beyond what the world gives, and it's a peace that he has brought and paid for us. And the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ means that his life is now in us. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. So the trials may come, the fiery darts may come, but you hold up the shield of faith and you start to speak the word out of your mouth. I know in my life, if a troubling thing comes up, the word is the first thing I start to speak. Okay? And I can testify that those things can't stand. They can't stay. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you that the trial of our faith is precious as we stand in faith. We thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in each of our lives and the work that you're doing in our lives. And Father, we ask that you continue with us and continue with all those that are associated with this church. We thank you, Lord, that you are increasing us, increasing this church. And by faith we see it. By faith we know that. We're not giving up, Lord. We're going forward. Father, I pray that all of us will take up the shield of faith. The next time something troubling might come our way, we don't let it get into our hearts, but we speak the word as the sword of the Spirit. Remind us of this, Lord, we ask. Remind us even of the word that's been spoken today, that we are not diverted off the track, that we stay on your path, your ways, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the people here. Thank you. We appreciate everything you've done, Lord. We thank you for everything you've done and what you are doing, even our lives today. Thank you for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is alive and he lives in our hearts. He lives in us. We are part of the vine. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, we open ourselves up to the Spirit of God. And as the Lord gives your word, speak that out. The Lord says, I am the true God. I am the one that is worthy to be praised. I am the one that is worthy to be exalted. I am your God. Thank you,
Lord. The Lord says to us to walk in truth and purity.
Praise you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. We praise you today, Lord. We thank you. We rest in you. We have that perfect rest today.